Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, and it is the story of Mary. Hear these words. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came and said to Mary, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greetings this might be. So the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and you will bear a son and you will name him Jesus and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him to the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom, there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed her. This indeed is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Here we are, Lord, we are your servants. Let it be with us according to your word. We thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that you would speak now through my words to all your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, lately our church has been diving into the most familiar Christmas carols and asking God what God might be saying through them to us today. And so all the songs you hear piped over the loudspeakers at Hobby Lobby, or all the songs that we sing every December in church, what might God be saying through them today? And last week, Pastor David talked about Silent Night. And I don't know about you, but now I can't hear that song without thinking of a mouse chewing through the bellows of an organ. But we learned of how that beautiful song emerged on a night when everything was going wrong. And what a miracle it is when God sings a new song in our lives, even when we least expect it. So this morning, we continue our sermon series called Advent Playlist, and today we're looking at Joy to the World. Joy to the World. It was written by Isaac Watts. And there's this funny story of little Isaac as a kid, because even at that young age, he was always making up rhymes and songs, much to the annoyance of his parents. Your kids ever do this? It gets old fast. One day, Isaac's family had their prayer time as usual, and afterward, Isaac's father said, "Boy, why did you have your eyes open in the middle of prayer?" And Isaac tried to explain that he had gotten distracted. And he said, "A little mouse, for want of stairs, ran up a rope to say its prayers." But his father did not think this was funny. So he gave Isaac a spanking to teach him how to be serious and focus on God. Whack, whack. And so Isaac cried out, "Oh, Father, Father, pity take, and I will no more verses make." But he did make more verses, years after years, as he grew into an adult. And eventually he wrote the words of Joy to the World, which we're singing today. Now, back in the 1600s, when Isaac was writing, people only sang words straight from the Bible, and you weren't supposed to add anything extra. It had to be only scripture, nothing more, nothing less. But then Isaac came along and he did start adding things to it. He started adding rhymes and poetry. It's like he was riffing on the words of scripture. And some people were scandalized by that. But some people were grateful for that because it made the scripture come alive. It was easier to sing. It was easier to understand. So Isaac kept writing hundreds and thousands of songs, many of which we still sing today. You see, the message of God is always trying to reach people, no matter what it takes. In the time of Isaac Watts, the message of God had to come down from this formal, stuffy, lofty kind of place, had to come down into the everyday language of the people. But that's just what God does. God always finds a way to reach people, coming to them in our language, in our location, in our very lifeblood, as when God came to us in Jesus. And so in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." It's some of the best news you could ever hear. The Lord is with you. It's some of the scariest news you could ever hear. The Lord has come down from any formal, lofty place. The Lord has come down to reach you in your region, in your town, in your being. Because this is so huge, the angel quickly has to say, don't be afraid. It's a beautiful thing to have a big God come so close to us, but it's a little scary too. But don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And here's the really scary part. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It's exciting and it's terrifying. And the reason it can be terrifying is because whenever we talk about Christ's kingdom, whenever we say, "Thy kingdom come," out one side of our mouth, we also have to say, "My kingdom go," out the other. We let go of old kingdoms, old stories, old songs to make room in our hearts for the new thing God wants to do. And now, Mary gets to be part of all this. She gets to be a part of this new kingdom that has no end, and we get to be part of it too. But sometimes we all need an angel to tell us, "Do not be afraid." There will be things asked of Mary as part of this kingdom. There will be things asked of us that we might not be ready for. About a month ago, a friend of mine was getting ready to preach at his church in Cary. His name is Cameron, and he does this crazy thing where he shows up at church at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I wish I could say I do this, but usually at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I'm texting Pastor David to ask which of us is preaching that day. But Cameron shows up at 5 a.m. so he can practice his sermon and memorize it before people start trickling into the church. But when Cameron pulled into his church parking lot early that Sunday morning, just last month, there in the darkness, he saw three figures, three boys, who had been spray painting one of the church buildings. And as soon as they saw him, they dropped their cans and ran into the woods. Cameron used the flashlight of his phone to illuminate what they had been writing on the church walls. You may have read about this in the News and Observer, because this is what they saw. KKK, the N-word, and another vulgar word next to the name of Jesus. Well, he called his senior pastor, he called the police, and the church tried to figure out why it had been targeted for such a sad thing. And it could have been any number of reasons. They have an African-American senior pastor. She's one of several African-American pastors who've led their church in recent years. They've been hosting community conversations called Racial Taboo. That's a pretty risky thing. And in their Sunday school classroom, literally on the other side of the spray-painted wall, they've been studying a book called The New Jim Crow, trying to wrestle with justice and injustice and God's mercy. So, what do you do after something like that? I mean, I know our song from this morning promises that God's love goes as far as it takes, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. But can that really be? Is that really true? Whether that curse is found on the news or in our neighborhood or even in our hearts. It's like when Mary said, "How can this be when all evidence points to the contrary?" But then the angel told her, nothing will be impossible with God. When church members showed up that morning, they all gathered to say a prayer, to bless some water, and to start cleaning the graffiti off the walls. They said blessings over the water, like the blessings we say over a baptism. And 3 hours later, there was no trace left. And then the next day, they did something really crazy. They threw open their doors and had a community potluck. And they invited everyone in to talk, to pray, to eat together. Because you see, the message of God is always trying to reach people, no matter what it takes. So they're going to keep having difficult conversations. They're going to keep studying difficult books. They're going to keep proclaiming joy to the world, the Lord has come. You see, those three boys left before the church had a chance to tell them why they do what they do there. They left before they got to hear the news, the good news of Jesus' birth. Those boys fled into the darkness before the church had a chance to tell them, you guys are trapped in an old story. You are caught in the loop of an old song when here God's trying to sing a new song in our lives. And you know what? This is a song for everyone. Let every heart prepare him room. How they wish they could tell them of a Savior, the Son of the Most High, who has been given the throne, who has broken down every dividing wall, who has set us free. But I do think that over time, the community of Cary will get to hear about this Jesus. And that message will reach even those three boys. If the people of God, if people like us, keep letting the water of blessing wash away the hurt and keep singing God's new song to the world. When the angel of the Lord comes to us and uses us, we are asked to do exciting and scary things, but we do not have to be afraid. The Lord is with us. There will be things asked of Mary as part of this kingdom. There will be labor pains. There will be things asked of us as part of this kingdom, but it's worth it. It's all worth it. It's worth it to see God's healing come to the world. It's worth it to see former enemies become brothers. So in 1 week's time, the people of Pinehurst UMC are going to do something exciting and scary. And I don't say that lightly, because we know that there's risk involved. Anytime a bunch of people get together to share God's love, with the world. It's always a little scary to say, we're going to love you even if you're a stranger. We're going to love you even if we never see you again. We're going to love you even if you never love us back. When God's people get together to show hospitality to anyone and everyone, it is a huge holy risk. But it's worth it. It's worth it to follow Christ, to throw the doors open wide, to throw ourselves open wide, ready to sing a new song of joy to the world. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, prepare our hearts this day and this week. Let every heart prepare room for you. We do ask that you would bring new people into our midst so that we can walk beside them, we can smile and share your joy. Lord, let your waters of blessing trickle down and wash away the wounds of this world. Make us into a people, your people, who are willing to say, your kingdom come. Let us make room for what you are doing here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.